Yo, 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 woke fam, what is happening? We're back with the next episode of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story. So for all the returning listeners, you know the drill by now. There's a little bit of shit that we gotta cover before we can kick today's episode off. The first being my thank yous. Thank you to each and every one of you that continuously gives me your love and support, your feedback after each and every episode. Been really having some good feedback off you guys recently, some really good response. I feel like we've been on a bit of a run with just hitting that out of the park with the previous few episodes. They really seem to be resonating with what you're looking for. Yeah, I really do appreciate it, guys. It means the world to me. I say it at the beginning of every episode, and I really do mean it. And one of the things that I've been thinking of doing, so I'm going to try it out on this episode and see how we get on. So what I'm asking for you is if you can screenshot direct evidence that you're spending a few hours of your day listening to me chat shit, and open up that third eye. And if you post that on your stories on Instagram, tag me in it, let the world know what you think, then I'm going to give away one 500 gram Vitruvian protein bag to one of you lucky initiates that post that shit on Instagram. Simple as that. I'm going to see how that goes, guys. Normally, I always ask you to drop me a review on iTunes and any of the other podcasting apps. Again, that would be much appreciated. But yeah, this time, let's try tag me on it on Instagram and let's see how we get on from there. Sweet. And for all you guys that's a little bit too much hard work and you can't be fucked to do that, then hey, I'm a giving man and I always give you guys the exclusive code REDPILL. That's the code REDPILL that when used at checkout on primalalchemy.co.uk, you'll get a 10% off anything within your shopping basket at the time of purchase. Now, if you're brand new to the Primal Alchemy brand and this is the first time you've tuned in, then this is the perfect opportunity to make the most of this code and check out our Vitruvian protein. That's our flagship organic whey protein superfood blend. It's forged with some of the world's greatest adaptogenic nootropic prebiotic herbs, fueled with high vibrational superfoods such as the Criolla cacao, which is the active flavoring ingredient used in the blend. I source all the ingredients myself, I formulated the blend, and I really did make it, guys, to be what I believe to be the pound-for-pound GOAT reigning champ of the health food industry. Now, don't just take my word for it. You got to try it out yourself. So no better way than to use the code REDPILL and get 10% off Vitruvian protein right here, right now. Get it delivered to you. Free UK delivery and discounted worldwide delivery. Now, guys, also, if you're not in the market for a protein powder, then why not check out our Ancestral Potential coaching programs? This is your chance to work with me. Work with me one-to-one. Are you looking for a new exercise program? Then Demigod Fitness Program is the one you're looking for. You're looking for nutrition? Then Quantum Fuel Nutrition Program is what you're looking for. You looking just to get optimized as fuck? Then we do a program that combines both the nutrition and the exercise together. And we also do our, which is becoming pretty popular now, is the Enlightened Biohacking Tutoring Service, where you get to sit down one-to-one with me and I will run you through all of the more esoteric aspects of human optimization and get your shit rocking to the next level. Again, all with the 10% discount code RED. Pill. Okay, guys, so moving on to today's episode, we have Mr. Sim Land on. So Sim is an interesting character. He's a vlogger, blogger, biohacking maverick extraordinaire. He is one of the best well-known names within the biohacking industry. And yeah, I've met Sim on a few occasions. He's an amazing guy, a stoic, a living day Seneca. He's a great guy and he is wise beyond his years. He's really interesting. What did we chat about? So we discussed, basically it was kind of like a conversation that me and Sim would have when we meet up in person. We always just go off on these little we go deep down the rabbit hole together, and people around us are just looking at us like, fucking hell, these two are OTT. But yeah, thought I'd give you guys one of those conversations for you to listen into, and hopefully you find it beneficial. So we discussed a few of Sim's books, Ketogenic Bodybuilding, his new one, which is Metabolic Autophagy, and we discussed our own personal views on the path of self-mastery, self-actualization, the hero's journey, eating an ancestral diet. You know, guys, the usual sort of shit that you'd expect from me. Sim is very much on the same level and wavelength as myself. So, yeah, hopefully you enjoy this one. And, yeah, let myself know, let Sim know afterwards. Let us know let us know what you thought of the chat. It's much appreciated. So again, as always, Morpheus, tell these fools what's up.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below, what lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual, we find balance with all three as we focus on totality, the whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path, looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar as we go deep down to the molecular level. Tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use the nature to heal with a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal, and your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey, but we up to empower with this red pill initiation hour. With this red pill initiation hour, brought to you by Prima Okami.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Three and a two and a one and oh shit, sweet Zeus, guys, we're back. It's episode 42 of the Red Pill Initiation Hour, and we're going to go in deep today. Got a special guest on indeed. I know I say everyone's special, but fuck it, they are special. And today's guest is someone who I've come to know personally over the past few months, past year probably. I reached out to him a while ago once I first launched the Primal Alchemy brand and got him to try out the Vitruvian protein, and we went back and forth, and then some synchronicities aligned, and then we ended up at dinner in London together through a mutual contact. And it was not something I was expecting, because he is from the other side of Europe compared to myself here in the UK. But just gonna jump straight in with this one. So it is the modern-day Seneca, Marcus Aurelius reincarnated. It's Mr. Simland. Sim, thanks for coming on, brother.
Well, yeah, thanks for inviting me, and appreciate all the positive comments.
You deserve it, man. You know what it's like with me. You know I can chat shit all day. You've probably got bored of me in our few little dinner dates that me and you have had in the past few months. So, yeah, I just thought it'd be good to actually have one of these little dinner date talks recorded. And there's a lot of cool shit that I know me and you can go in depth on. But for everyone who's not familiar with what you're about, Sim, could you give us a little bit of a breakdown on who you are, how you got into the area of interest that you are now? And yeah, dude, we're pretty much just we're branching off from there.
Right. Okay. Well, like I said, I'm from Estonia, and my name is Simland. So what I do is generally I create different types of content online on my blog and YouTube channel and podcasts. And I'm also like an author, a public speaker, and I do some coaching as well. So generally the kind of field that I am involved with is can be called you know, biohacking and, you know, self-optimization or something that you can call it, that everything that related to your body and optimizing your physiology, nutrition, exercise, other biohacks, and all those things. So I've been doing it for a few years already, and I started maybe after high school when I kind of delved into the practices of intermittent fasting, ketogenic dieting, meditation, all those things, different things. And it kind of, everything unraveled itself from there, where I started my blog in high school, in college. And ever since that, I've been simply putting out content continuously. And yeah, I've been growing exponentially since that time. So it's everything has been going quite good.
Yeah, brother, you're putting in the grind for sure. Like, your podcast again is on some next level. I see how many episodes you're posting continuously, your blog posts, your YouTube videos, just everything, Sim, man. You're on the fucking grind with this. And you can only do that and maintain it if it's a passion and if it's your purpose and if it gives you fulfillment. And that's obviously what me and you both share, in that this is our life. This is our, like, we're fortunate enough where we've been able to put ourselves into a position where our quote unquote job is essentially our life. And our life is all about, yeah, self-optimization, self-mastery, self-actualization, and all of the intricate variables that are, that make up that equation to become, yeah, your higher self.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, there is, like, at first it may seem that we're very fortunate, which we are, but at the same time, there's also, like I said, a lot of work that has been put into it. And I myself personally haven't come from some form of like a privileged background or anything. Everything that I have done is the result of simply putting in the work and really working on myself continuously and making, like, a lot of sacrifices in other aspects of my life. So it's never been like something that is very easy. At first, it may seem that, yeah, I got a bunch of YouTube subscribers and followers and so on. But if you kind of zoom back in time, then you can see that the first few years were really slow, and they required a lot of, you know, grinding and not seeing any results at all. And simply doing it, like I said, because you're very passionate about it and kind of pushing off the immediate gratification. So yeah, only after, let's say, a few, or only within the last few year, or the last past year or something, that I've been seeing some of, like, initial return on everything that I've been doing. So yeah, it's never been easy, and it's not going to be easier in the future either. It's always going to be somewhat of a struggle and somewhat of a continuous process of working all the time.
Yeah, I think that's the way it needs to be, man. It's when you start from the bottom, it gives you a different perspective. It's the same as me. Like, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Mm-hmm. I'm from quite a ghetto part of the UK, and specifically where I'm from and the city I'm from. I'm from, like, the shittest part of that city. My school was in special measures when I was in school. There was only, like, three of us within my year group that went to university. And it's interesting, man. It's good to be around people that know that have walked the path of having a passion and having no sort of financial head start or head start within who you know within certain industries. You're literally just straight out of the gates and you just grind that shit, and then I can see it, man. It's been great to see you blow up. It's been great to see, because even from when I first got in contact with you, man, to where you're at now, it's like I can see the evolution in yourself, in your work, in the amount of engagement you've got with your followers and people that are interested in the content you create. And it really does put the merit, just the whole point of just having a passion and just working at it, just showing up every day, show up every day. Mm. And eventually you're going to find your break. Eventually there's going to be an opportunity that's going to be presented to you. And if you put in the work, then you're going to be ready for it. And that's exactly how I felt with this Primal Alchemy brand, man. I was like, for a while, like when I first started it, I spent so long doing like dedicated my life to just pursuing all these different avenues of knowledge and wisdom and tying it together. And then I created the brand thinking that I was just going to blow up. I was just like, man, I've got all the fucking answers here. And then you quickly realize it's like, oh, it doesn't matter. You're right at the gates have opened. You're at the start like everyone else. And it's all about just grinding. It's eventually you'll find your break. And like you said, it's a mixture of luck, but at the same time, creating your own opportunities to be in the presence of luck.
And you mentioned Seneca in the beginning. So there's a quote by Seneca that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So you're never going to be lucky, quote unquote. You're always going to be, given these different opportunities randomly. But whether or not you're going to take advantage of those opportunities depends on how prepared you are, how much self-development and personal development have you put into yourself, and how much work have you done beforehand, so to say. It doesn't matter if you win $1 million from a lottery, if you don't know how to, manage your finance or whatever. Like, it's a matter of how prepared you are, and you can't never know when those opportunities come. What you can do instead is to focus on, putting in the work and working on yourself so that you would be prepared to meet those opportunities and be prepared to take advantage of them in the right way. So that's like luck, where you are actually, putting in the work and making yourself more prepared for those opportunities.
Yeah, man. And to be fair, like the way that I see those opportunities are the call to adventure. Like, I know you're big into Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey. I know you've done a video or so on it. And those opportunities that are presented to you are, in my eyes, my perspective, looking through my lens, is those are the call to adventures. And most people spend their life just in that first stage of the hero's journey cycle of the hero's monomyth, just that ordinary world. They get that call to adventure, but then most people are just too distracted, too disorientated. Yeah. They're scared. They've got commitments, baggage, and they never answer the call. And it's great to like talk to people like yourself, man, because I know that you've had that call and you've answered it, and this has taken you from your ordinary world in Estonia, and it's taken you out to do talks over in Toronto and meet like in the Biohacking Summit talks with those guys, to doing just coming over to London where I got to meet you, just taking yourself out of your ordinary world into your extraordinary world. And it's all part of that character growth, self-development cycle process. And what's been the most sort of, not challenging thing, but what's been the single most event that you faced so far, Sim, that you feels, looking back on it, is giving you the most growth?
Well, I would say that there have been like a certain kind of periods in my life that I've gained the most insight and where I've kind of developed my character the most. One of those periods was the military. Where did I go? It's like mandatory in Estonia. You have to go for like 8 to 12 months in the military in Estonia. So after high school, I went there, and it was kind of I did want to go there because it's kind of cool to do some awesome drills and fire some guns and do a bunch of push-ups and everything else. So it was certainly like fun, but at the same time it was not boring in a sense, but mind numbing. In a sense, it's kind of a lot of routine, a lot of doing random things that don't make sense at first. Eventually you're going to realize that they do have a certain benefit in terms of cultivating your mind and making sure that you do things just for the sake of doing them. And in so doing, you're also kind of cultivating your discipline and making yourself, you're honing your kind of willpower and making yourself to endure whatever kind of challenges you might face. Because after the military, you kind of see that the challenges in everyday life, they're really easy, and they're not that big of a deal compared to like the actual potential dangers that may come about, whether that be like actual war or some form of, being exposed to the elements, being exposed to the cold, sleeping in snow, walking through swamps and everything else. So those everyday challenges in your everyday life, they become very minute, and you kind of realize that you're simply being quite soft, and you're kind of simply you haven't experienced what is really difficult. So that's why I think having to put yourself into these situations where you experience more difficulties, whether that be physical and mental, on a like consistent basis in your everyday life, is gonna simply make everyday life easier as well, because you're gonna get more used to it. And there's another quote that I remember from one of the old Persian kings. I think it was Cyrus who said that soft land makes soft people, or something like that. And it's basically true that if you are living in a very comfortable environment all the time, then you're basically making yourself very soft, and you're making yourself fragile. Now, the problem is that the world itself around you doesn't care about your comfort, and the world itself is going to throw at you these random events, and there's going to be some sort of like disaster and chaos that's going to come. And whether or not you're going to survive that chaos depends on how cultivated you are, how well developed, and how able you are to bear unexpected situations. So we're not all going to have to make it. Like, it's not a Hollywood movie, you know. Everyone is not going to make it. It's not going to be a happy ending. And whether or not you are going to make it individually depends, again, how well you are adaptable, and how well you are able to bear these situations.
Yeah, when you were talking about the your time in the army doing your national service, man, it's interesting because we don't have that in the UK. It's not a requirement. And essentially what we've done by not having that implemented, or any country, I mean, it doesn't have to be national service, but national service is a good modern day representation of a rite of passage. And that seems to be something that is missing, especially within the Western world. And especially out of tribal civilizations, or modern day civilization, we've lost that rite of passage. And it's that rite of passage to take you from the adolescence and put you into manhood, or at least initiate you into the early stages of manhood. And if you don't go through that process of either self-indoctrination, or through it happening out of your will, then you run the risk of running through life as most nowadays modern day men from our generation, probably even the generation before us, like it was a little bit different. Because a lot of guys back, like a lot of the older generation, they were in like the war, or they were the generation after, which kind of had the inherited a lot of the psychological baggage of the World War. But especially like the millennials, Generation Z below us, and so on, is you run the risk of just being a kid in a man's body, and not actually making that transition from the child self to the adult self. And the key is to make the transition into the adult self, but keep the essence, the spark of your inner child within you, but then at the same time actually be a fucking guy and not a kid that's just gonna break down. That's like a snowflake, that any bit of stress or trouble or adversity that they come into contact with in their life, they just crumble. And it's interesting what you said about kind of actively putting yourself into situations where you face adversity. And that's something that I've kind of, it's not an addiction of mine, but it's one of those things where I yearn to face my dragon. I yearn for that experience of just being right on the edge of like, you're not going to fucking make this, man. This is like legit. You are breaking your limits here. And although I've been in some tricky situations and overcome it, I'm still after it, Sim. I'm still chasing that moment of the dragon, and I don't know where I'm going to get it. I don't know if that's something that's going to present itself in life
when I'm least expecting it, or if it's something that I'm going to actively put myself into that situation. But it's the, I can totally resonate with what you're saying with just having access in your life, having the experience of those situations where you know what's going to happen if shit hits the fan. Because a lot of people, they walk around with like this false sense of confidence or this false sense of this reality that they've built up in their head that if shit hits the fan, this is how they're going to react. They're going to be like The Rock. They're going to be like the movie star of the of 80s Hollywood, and they're going to save the day. But it's not really going to happen like that. Most people are going to fucking freeze up and probably cause themselves and the people around them some harm.
Yeah, it's so true. Like it's a part of the natural development of the human psyche as well. Like you mentioned Joseph Campbell, and yeah, he talks a lot about the cycles of the hero's journey. And one part of that is the initiation period, where the hero is thrown into the wild and he has to leave his home and go through the road of challenges and face these in different trials and tribulations. And through that process, he kind of realizes his true nature and actually actualizes it. Because, you know, without going through this development, then you're going to stay the same. And you don't, you know, develop yourself as a person.
Yeah, what do you think it is, Sim? Like, what do you think it is that's the main sort of roadblock that people run into? Do you think it's just out of fear? Do you think it's like, what do you think it is? Do you think it's more so to do with like programming and social conditioning, or what do you think the root of it is, where people, because everyone in their life, no matter what position they're in, somewhere in their life they would have been presented with an opportunity that could drastically change their life, but most people, like we were saying earlier, just kind of turn their backs to it. But what do you think the reason for that is?
Well, I think it's simply a matter of not having an incentive to act. There isn't like a danger that's literally standing in front of the door. Like there, everyone is. It is true we're living in a very comfortable environment, and there's sort of a safety net around us. So you know, you're not going to starve. You're not going to probably go broke entirely, and you're not going to die in most cases. So it's a matter of not being incentivized to act, and there isn't like an urgency that would spark people into action. They're simply too comfortable, and they kind of take advantage of it. They always kind of, people tend to change, or people make drastic changes in their life when they go through some form of a trauma or some form of a massive transformation. So you know, so the person usually who is, you know, smoking, then they may stop smoking only if they get diagnosed with some sort of a disease, if that's like the case. So all the way up until that point, they may rationalize it away, saying that it's not going to happen to them and everything is safe. But once they actually get diagnosed, then they may take it seriously, hopefully. Like some people may not even take any action then, but you know, yeah, there isn't a reason for people to act, because everything is very kind of safe. And that's why in my own personal life and my personal development, I've always kept the idea of urgency alive. There's always something. I'm always trying to kick my own ass, and I'm always trying to incentivize myself to still keep going and make sure, like, okay, well, why isn't things going faster, and why haven't I done certain things yet? So I always, you know, make it a must for myself to keep going and always try to improve myself.
Yeah, I think that's critical, man. I think that's really important to kind of, it's not like you want to put on yourself like an impossible task ahead, like on your shoulders, but it's important to keep yourself accountable for your actions daily. Like literally take the time and just, at the end of every day, you can either journal it, you can do more introspective work, meditate, just something that's just going to allow you to analyze, like, what did you do today, man? Did you actually do anything that's benefiting you? Did you do something that's going to benefit other people around you? Or did you just self-indulge and just waste another day? And one of the things I wanted to bring up, Sim, because I've heard you talk about it before, and I think this would be a good sort of opportunity because it's a good description of it, is obviously you mentioned briefly just a minute ago about fragility. I've also heard you talk about anti-fragility, anti being anti-fragile, and it's not necessarily I'll let you explain it, man, because when you broke it down to me before, it was fucking good, man.
The opposite of fragile is something that is anti-fragile. So when a fragile thing breaks, it's going to break into a million pieces, but something that is anti-fragile would do the opposite. It would gain from the situation. So it's a concept created by this writer and a philosopher, Nassim Nicholas Taleb. And basically you can imagine that an anti-fragile thing is like the hydra. If you cut off one of its heads, then it's going to grow two heads to place it out or to swap it out. So anti-fragile things are everything that gain from chaos and they gain from these unexpected situations. Things like the economy to a certain extent, and also like the human body itself is an anti-fragile system. Like you get stronger when you lift weights, and you get stronger when you deprive yourself from certain foods and you fast, or you get stronger when you get exposed to the colds, or you get exposed to the heat. So the human body is an anti-fragile thing because initially the stress causes some damage, but after a while you adapt to it and you grow stronger. Versus something that is a fragile thing, it would be completely destroyed by it. And something that is resilient, simply resilient, that thing would simply kind of resist the shock and it would stay the same. But the anti-fragile thing, it gets better. So I always try to maintain not only like an anti-fragile body by practicing these all kind of stressors and getting exposed to them, but also trying to keep my mind anti-fragile as well, to not be affected mentally by stressful situations, and to always try to maintain calm and to know that, okay, although this is like a difficult situation, I know that if I get through it, then I'm actually going to get better. So, what doesn't kill you, it only makes you stronger, like Nietzsche said.
Yeah, and it, at the same time, man, it just links back to what we were saying then. It's like you can only do this if you actively go out and put yourself in these situations to be able to experience that reaction, over and over again until you become familiar with it, be familiar with facing the dragon. And then from there, it's when you're presented with it, like you said, against your intention, then you are much better suited to surviving, and not just surviving, but if you've done it enough, almost thriving from it as well. Yeah. And one of the things you mentioned there was with fasting. And I know that's something that me and you have discussed previously a few times. And I know you just got your new book out now, Metabolic Autophagy, which has got a lot of shit in it about the art of fasting. And I thought we could maybe just touch base on that, man, and you could give us a bit of a rundown on what you've been working on recently regarding that book and some of the content within it and some of the key points that you think people listening would benefit from when it comes to just understanding autophagy. Fucking hell, man, what the hell is up with me today? I just can't even pronounce my words. Autophagy and fasting as well, man.
Yeah, well, like I said, the book is about optimizing intermittent fasting for both longevity as well as performance. So there are a lot of, research done on intermittent fasting and caloric restriction that show that it improves it improves your mitochondrial functioning, improves your brain functioning, it has anti-aging benefits, promotes lifespan in many other species. And yeah, it's generally like a really good way to promote longevity. In fact, I think it's one of the best ways of doing it. And the central component to the effects of intermittent fasting in terms of longevity come from this thing called autophagy. So autophagy is a process where your healthy cells recycle their old and dysfunctional components. And it's also like taking out the trash and preventing the accumulation of these dysfunctional organelles and eliminating all these toxins and wasteful material. So it's a very a really good way of promoting longevity. And the book talks about not only like the science of it, how does it work, but also how do you practice it in a daily setting, and how do you do intermittent fasting in different situations. And the kind of the caveat or the potential danger to this is that although fasting is good for longevity, it can at the same time it can still bite yourself in the ass if you overdo it, because another critical component of longevity is muscle mass. And if fasting gets in the way of maintaining your lean muscle mass, then it can have like a point of diminishing returns in terms of longevity. So that's why you still want to practice other forms of building muscle and maintaining lean muscle, such as lifting weights and doing resistance training, and consuming like nutrient dense foods that actually nourish you. So the kind of the thesis of the book is that you don't want to overdo the muscle building, you don't want to overdo the fasting, but you don't want to underdo either of them either. You have to find this optimal zone for both of them. And the book kind of teaches you how do you do it, and what kind of foods affect both of these processes, and how can you optimize it for best results.
Yeah, man. What's your what are you up to nowadays? What are you doing? What sort of window are you working at with your fasting?
Well, at the moment, I've been doing primarily like a 1 meal a day, but I kind of modify it to a certain extent. It's not like a strict 1 meal, but it's I eat once a day within maybe like 2 to 3 hours or something like that. Mm-hmm. And within that time frame, I may consume like 2 smaller meals, and I get most of my calories from that. On some other situations, I also, if I'm working out, then I may also drink like a protein shake during the workout, just to have like an additional anti-catabolic effect and to give myself an additional source of amino acids for the workout and from promoting recovery. So that's what I would use if I were to try to build muscle with fasting. It's somewhat difficult to build fast if it's somewhat difficult to like build muscle if you're already eating once a day, but I've seen to kind of be able to still do it with this this form of having that protein shake during the workout. And most of them, in general, on most days I am still consuming like 1 meal, and then I also have like these longer fasts every once in a while that last for like 3 to 4 days and 5 days.
I've just got off of doing my own long-ish fast. I did it on the last new moon, which I believe was like February 4th, I believe, something like that. Mm-hmm. And did 4 day water fast with distilled water. And then after that, I did 2 day dry fast, but the hard one, when obviously no contact with water. And it's interesting. Interesting, man. I mean, fasting can have such a wide, diverse spectrum of effects, not necessarily just on the physical self, but mm-hmm. also on the mental and the spiritual, depending on how deep you want to get into it. And you feel a lot of stagnant energy in your body just kind of be released.
I want to add, like, fasting, it's like you said, not only like a physical improvement, like you're burning body fat, you're eating your dysfunctional cells, but on a psychological level, you're also able to let go of certain attachments and addictions, specifically to like food and whatever kind of other attachments you might have. At least that's what I've seen from my personal experience and other people as well. And the kind of metaphorical view of looking at autophagy is, autophagy translates into self-eating. So there's like in these traditional myths, there's always this archetypal image or the symbol of the Ouroboros, which is the snake biting its old tail. And that's literally like what's happening during autophagy. Like, you are eating yourself. And that's what you have to do in your personal life as well, if you want to transform and get better as a person. Like, you literally have to eat your old self and leave behind all the waste, all the bad habits, all the things that are holding you down before you can, you know, transform yourself and transcend into the greater version of yourself and the more optimized version of yourself, you have to eat yourself before you can be reborn.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that, Sim. Like, I do. I just find it fascinating. I find it fascinating all the subtle cues that your body gives you, that your mind gives you, that when you're in this, when you're in a fasted state, a deep fasted state, not just intermittent, but when you're doing a longer fast of just, it's almost like your body wants to kick into autopilot mode. It wants to continue just subconsciously, but you need to bring that subconscious into light. Like when you're doing these long duration fasts, and you gain a lot of revelations about what you're doing in life, what is actually your conscious self and what is actually the unconscious controlling things behind the scenes. And I was happy with my experience doing it, because I've always done fasts before, but this was the first time that I did it with the distilled water, and the distilled water made all the difference, man. Like, I don't know if you've done it with distilled water at all before, but it's like a different level. I distinctly remember the first 2 days of the fast. I was just like, fucking done this before. This ain't going to be, this is just going to get through these 7 days. We're all good. And then within like the first night, I was just like fucked up on my floor, just like sweating shit tons. My head was just throbbing. And that went on for about 3 days. And then after that, I kind of just, yeah, I felt new, felt like a new person. But it's, wow, that distilled water, just, it really matters, because it strips all the inorganic material from your body. And depending on what you've done in your life, the liquid you've drank, the food you've ate, you get an accumulation of this that's quite hard to get out unless you've got a medium like distilled water to for it to bind to and get and strip it out of your system. And I obviously had quite a lot of buildup within my head, which was interesting, because I like to think that I'm quite the healthy guy and I'm pretty optimized. But it was interesting to go through that process of like, fuck, man, there's layers to this. You're no matter how optimized you think you are, there's always things that may have crept in your blind spot that you never noticed. And yeah, it's there inside of you. One of the other things as well, Sim, are you familiar with like parasites and things like that?
Well, I know they exist, so to say. I haven't noticed any real issues with myself, but I haven't done like a real sort of a parasite cleanse either.
Oh, bro, Sim, this is going to be the next thing for you, man. Trust, you need to look up a guy called Dr. Robert Kassar, and he's based out in Maui over in Hawaii, and he's got his own little retreat, resort, whatever you want to call it. And he runs a page called Urfer Academy. And he goes in deep on the effects that parasites have on us, in that obviously they feed off the host without the host being aware of their presence. And a lot of he attributes a lot of the addictions that we suffer from are simply the end result of giving parasites food, and food in the form of sugar, in the form of dopamine, in the form of instant gratification, in the form of not being in these comfortable situations, being in these comfortable situations. But a lot of interesting things, and he shows legit microscopic pictures of these parasites, and when you zoom in on them, and these are real pictures, these aren't artist renditions, and you see what these things look like, you're like, fucking hell, like, these things are living in me. They look like they look like something out of Star Wars. Like, you look at it and you're just like, what the fuck? And you've got hundreds and thousands of these things inside of you, feeding on you. And I'm not saying for you specifically, just for everyone listening, guys, but I do know
the gut microbiome does play a huge role in how you feel and what kind of thoughts you have during the day as well. And I do definitely notice that, let's say, on a low sugar, low carbohydrate, low processed food, low dopamine rich food, those diets, they do make me feel a lot better in terms of like my brain functioning, and there's not going to be any these distractions, and there's not going to be this sort of a craving that a lot of people have. Like, one of the reasons why people crave certain foods is because of their microbiome is messed up, and their bacteria are actually causing those cravings. Not that they personally want to eat another donut, although they've eaten like 10 already. So yeah, it's a matter of, yeah, like the microbiome plays a huge role. And that's why I do definitely avoid processed food, like, yeah, 99% of the time, and I keep my diet quite clean.
Yeah, it's essential, man. You've had Wade Lightheart on your podcast, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
It was interesting. I had him on a few episodes back, and we were discussing, and he breaks it down so well. About he can describe the gut biome really well, and obviously his products are next level as well. And it's bio optimizers, guys. For any of you that are listening that are interested in it, like, he makes some. Wade is like one of the co-founders of it. He makes like really good probiotic and enzyme products. There's a few more other things he does as well, but those are sort of the two flagship ones. And yeah, I've been experimenting with them recently, and it's interesting because it's, although I've kind of keep all my gut health stuff sort of optimized through fermented foods, it's interesting to add some different cultures. And like Wade says, you've got the transient cultures, and then you have the colonizing cultures. And it's interesting just experimenting with what works for you, what sort of internal environment you've got going on that's gonna allow these bacteria to thrive, or maybe it's not gonna be the best place for them. And it's so important, man. As above, so below. Like, it's more and more people know now the effect of the gut biome and the enteric nervous system, the vagus nerve. Everything's connected from the brain down to the gut. And if you've got like these issues with your gut, if you've got these breaches with your gut, and your gut line and if your gut line and permeability is off, and you've got like leaky gut caused by the shit that you've been eating and processed foods and the glyphosate and the GMOs, then as above, so below. You've got leaky gut, you've got leaky brain, and then these things are gonna be be able to transition from your gut up into your brain, cross the blood-brain barrier, and now you've got fucking brain damage. Maybe not as straightforward as that, but in essence, that is what happens. And it's so important to take care of your gut. And obviously, the fasting is a good way of kind of rebooting your gut health. And one of the things, Sim, what was the, you said that you briefly about the foods that you ate, like one meal a day and shit. Are you still doing all the same foods that me and you discussed previous, like going like full on like ancestral nutrition, where it's going to be like organ meat and things like that?
I do focus a lot on like nutrient dense whole foods, and as a default I eat like a low carb keto diet, and generally I eat, you know, a bunch of eggs, some vegetables and some meat, and I do include like different organ meats, liver, heart, and also some of those bone broth components with the bone marrow and ligaments and everything. So yeah, I do eat almost nose to tail as frequently as I can.
Yeah, good, man. Do you follow anyone on this account on Instagram called Slow Down Farmstead?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Sam, you're missing out, man. You need to follow. She's called Tara. I forgot what her second name is. Fuck. But yeah, her account's called Slow Down Farmstead, and she runs this farm, and she just basically just updates with pictures of what the family eat, and it's everything from the farm, but it's real sort of Western A price ancestral nutrition dishes, where it's going to be like liver, heart, all the different, yeah, like you said, like nose to tail. And it's it triggers me a little bit when I'm fasting. I'm just like, fuck, I can do with a little bit of that. But with some of the other books that you've got, mate, I know obviously we briefly covered your newest one, but then you've also got ones, you've got Ketogenic Bodybuilding, which is another one. And what's the for everyone that's listening, that are, most people are familiar now with the ketogenic diet, so you don't necessarily have to explain what that is, But in terms of utilizing that dietary protocol into gaining muscle or in conjunction with a bodybuilding sort of fitness plan, what's your sort of advice and what information have you got to share on that?
Well, I think that the biggest kind of thing that helps to build muscle on keto is to increase your protein intake a little bit, because the standard keto diet with the macronutrient ratios that are designed for epilepsy and cancer and so on, they tend to be somewhat really low in protein for your body to actually build new tissue. And, you know, in order to grow, you need to trigger muscle protein synthesis, and you need to have like an excess of building blocks, because your muscles are literally like made of protein and amino acids. So generally, you can safely increase your protein intake a little bit on a keto diet without, you know, sacrificing the aspect of keto adaptation. Is actually a better thing for performance. And but at the same time, a keto diet itself isn't like a high protein diet. It's still a moderate amount of protein diet compared to like the traditional bodybuilding diet. And kind of the golden optimal dose for protein would be somewhere between like 0.8 to 1.0 grams per pound of body weight in protein. That would be like the minimal effective dose, and that's what's also shown by studies to be the optimal dose for building muscle. Next to that, definitely making sure that you actually do resistance training, because that's like the catalyst for everything, like triggering muscle protein synthesis and triggering the other pathways that help to build muscle. So usually that has to involve some form of like a resistance training program where you get stronger progressively in the long term, because you need to progress in some aspect of your training to build muscle, because the body adapts only if there's like a necessity, if there's like urgency and an incentive.
What's the what's your breakdown personally of your macros that you're taking in on with your carbs, protein, and fats?
I don't know like very specifically. I don't count them, but I can say that I may get about 25-30% of my calories coming from protein, 5-15% coming from carbs, and the rest of them coming from fat. So I don't like worry about my carbs, because I'm already eating like once a day, and I'm fasting, so I'm already in deeper ketosis, and I'm going to continue fasting after I eat, so it's not going to inhibit my ketosis for the long term. So I don't worry about my carbs. But I'm not going out of my way of adding a bunch of extra fat either. Like, I'm not making a bulletproof coffee or something. I'm simply eating my fats and eating my macros from whole food sources. And usually the protein sources are simply, they come with a bit of more extra fat. Like, I'm not eating chicken breast or egg whites. I'm eating whole pieces of meat with a little bit of extra fat. So the fat content is still higher, but it's not like super high, if that makes sense.
Yeah, man, that makes sense. So you generally, what's your goals at the minute, man? Are you kind of maintaining? Are you trying to put on some size? Are you trying to trim down? Like, what are you doing personally at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I am kind of maintaining, and kind of my biggest focus is simply getting stronger and progressing on certain body weight movements, like trying to do the straddle planche and trying to do tiger bend handstand push-ups and so on. Ooh. So yeah, I'm bigly focusing on bodyweight movements and generally trying to simply get stronger.
Yeah, man, it's good goal. I'm just thinking of just when was it I last met you? Like, when was it we last saw each other? It was like it was probably the end of last year, maybe around October time or so.
Yeah, I think a few months ago, yeah.
Yeah, just wondering how things have changed since then for you in terms of training, in terms of nutrition, in terms of any new biohacks that's kind of come into your field of view recently, or is it still the same? I feel like with the biohacking community, it's like everyone's kind of caught up with each other now, in that there's like, we kind of understand the foundational principles of things that that help with biohacking in terms of increasing like your mitochondrial health and performance. And then it's kind, everyone's kind of on the same level now. Have you got anything new or is it still the same old?
I do a lot of this, like the fundamentals. I try to focus a lot on the fundamentals like fasting and meditation and exercise. But I do have picked up on this X3 bar, which is kind of a cool little workout, home gym workout device that uses like these resistance bands. And the idea is that it incorporates this sort of a variable resistance where you overstimulate the muscle at the range of motion where your muscles are the strongest at. And you can always load it up with the heaviest load from in that range of motion, so to say. So you're not limited by your weakest range of motion, and all you're enabling to hit full failure on all ranges of motion. So it's kind of a cool little device, and I do notice that it's pretty good for getting like a good pump as well as like finishing a good workout. And I have seen somewhat of an improvement, at least in like a muscle definition from that.
Yeah, I gave that a try with one of my friends from the biohacker meetup in London has one, and I gave it a try. I did some of the pressing with it and tried doing some of the deadlifts with it, and it's fascinating. What's the guy named who created it again? Dr.
John Jaquish.
Yeah, that's it. John Jaquish. I might try and grab him on the show soon to discuss it in more detail, because I know he's a interesting character with a lot of things to say, and he's a bit of a maverick in his own right that he hasn't followed the status quo. And apart from that, man, what's the, for everyone that's listening, okay, they've kind of come to grips with everything we've been talking about so far, but they're interested in biohacking. I mean, that is like in essence a bit of your specialty. It's kind of my specialty. What's your top three biohacks apart from fasting, apart from everything else that we have mentioned so far?
Well, yeah, like actually my top three biohacks would be like fasting, meditation, and exercise. But yeah, like you said,
is exercise classed as biohacking nowadays?
Depends on how you do it and depends on what kind of exercise you're doing. So I would think that high intensity exercise done in a fast state and so on, that may be categorized as a biohack if you do it, you know, like very intentionally. But yeah, to answer your question, then I would say that other top three biohacks would be, you know, maybe tracking your sleep and looking at how well do you sleep and using some sort of a device to measure it. Like I myself using the Oura Ring, but you know, anything can be useful just to give us some form of information and feedback about how good your sleep actually is. Secondly, the red light therapy is another one of those awesome things that I do think that everyone will benefit from. And maybe third, I would say maybe using like the blue blocking glasses. That's a good, another good immediately visible, or immediately you can feel the difference. I would imagine for most people.
Yeah, solid, man. That's what brand blue blocking glasses you got nowadays? You got those Rhythm Optics?
No, I have the Blue Blocks, yeah, from Australia.
Yeah, how are they, man? Are they okay?
Yeah, they're really good. Like at first, I was using the True Dark, but then I didn't notice like a difference between the True Dark and the Blue Blocks. So the Blue Blocks are simply more stylish, and they're also like more comfortable to wear, and you can wear them in public as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab a pair off Matt from Rare Optics soon. He's got a new range coming out, so I'm waiting for them to come out before I jump on board with that. But yeah, that's important, man. I mean, again, there's another topic that we could have just chatted for ages about, is obviously circadian rhythms and the effect that has on our overall performance, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Again, depending on how deep you want to go, as always. But yeah, just important. And obviously, we both know Brian Red Light from Red Light Rising. And it's the whole red light therapy is something that I feel is going to start to blow up within the industry soon. I think there's going to be a lot of new brands, a lot of innovative products coming out. And yeah, it's an interesting time to be interested in the world of biohacking. Like I was telling you before, it's like we're at a sort of, I guess we're kind of like responsible for bringing this information out there to everyone, because it's like biohacking is still extremely niche and a lot of people have no idea what you're talking about as soon as you mention biohacking. But at the same time, it's like, it's kind of our responsibility that we are the Olympians coming through, the titans of the old health and fitness industry, well-being, self-improvement industry. They've kind of had their day, and it's time for like a new generation to come through with a new outlook, a fresh lick of ping on the whole image of self-improvement, self-mastery. And it's good to have you on by my side with this one, man. And it's I think just looking at the time now, I've had you for an hour, so we will tie this one up. But for everyone that's really enjoyed today just as much as I have, Sim, I mean, it's always great to be able to talk to you and share some ideas as always. But whereabouts can everyone find you if they're wanting to know a little bit more about Simland?
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I really enjoy talking with you as well, and looking forward to meeting you in the future. For people who want to find me, then they can find Siim Lund on all the social media platforms. And for the book, they can check out Metabolic Autophagy on Amazon.
All right. Just straight up like that. Anything else? Yeah. Any videos that you would want to direct anyone to with, it's like just a good one of your favorite videos you've recorded or anything like that, or just straight up just Simland at YouTube, Simland Instagram, good to go?
Yeah, I think people can find a bunch of different videos on my YouTube, and I think they can start from whatever point they're at. So yeah, they can. There's like for all levels of expertise.
All right, fair enough, Sim. All right, man. So in which case, guys, that's going to be episode 42 of this podcast series, Done and Dusted. So hopefully, you guys have enjoyed this one. Hopefully, you enjoyed Sim again. Only managed to have Sim on for an hour this time. Normally, Sim can go way deeper within a lot of the subjects that we briefly covered here. So again, check his shit out. Check out his all of his content. I'll throw it all into the show notes for you guys, just in case you forget over the past 2 minutes of what Sim just said. But other than that, let's tie this one up. Episode 42, rolling out, guys. As always, stay woke as fuck, and I'll catch you on the next episode.